welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. No matter what happens, I'm still laughing at that voice. If everyone that's not listening that can't hear that, there's a voice and it says, "This meeting is being recorded." And I just, it's my second day, so I'm a bit of a kid with that noise, right? So it's my second day with that noise in my ear. So what can I say? But
well, shout out to Zoom.
Yes.
Total unicorn company. And I just love this product.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So today I'm joined by Sarah Austin, and Sarah is a writer. She's actually an author working on her third book, which is about influencer marketing. Because I know you've been an influencer for SAP and Oracle and HP and Ford and
Virgin America.
Intel. Did I say Intel?
Intel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of companies I've been an influencer for them, but
I think it's good.
I'm also a marketing consultant, and I also come up with the campaigns and the strategies, and I also bring my own network of influencers to different campaigns.
Right.
I'm a full stack marketer.
Cool. So yeah, I mean, you've been doing this for a little while, and what I like about you is you've got a coding, you come from a technical background, like you actually understand, because a lot of people, whilst they're great influencers and they know about the subject, like on a business level, they don't understand the technology and this sort of stuff. And that's why, you know, I know you launched a business called Broad Listening, which was an artificial emotional intelligence engine for human capital management or human resources, right? So that's super interesting. So I think we're going to talk about using social media in HR today, and I'm quite interested to hear what you've got to say about that. So question is, how best to hire the right talent? That's the first question that I've put down. So where do you begin?
Yeah, well, you know, most of us aren't marketers, and we don't necessarily know how to do writing as marketers, but we know what we want in that candidate that we're trying to hire. So for those of us who, you know, aren't necessarily experts at workforce planning, but we work in human capital management, HR, we really have to be both experts at workforce planning and marketing, even though our training might have been just on HCM or HR. But one jump ahead, a shortcut, can be just to use the Broad Listening tool. It's a job posting tool, and it does a lot of that hard work for you. It can help you to sort of write in the right tone, and using the right vocabulary to reach the right talent in your job descriptions for your job postings. And then can also do some matching from the job posting to the resume to really make sure that the candidate is not just most qualified, but is really going to excel at this position. So really just having to know the ins and outs of every job is near impossible for HR. They can't know every single job, like 800 jobs, and keep all of that information in their head. But they might be hiring for 800 different jobs. So really having to know how to best communicate with the position that you're offering better than anyone else is really where this AI software comes in. And so it uses natural language processing. It can actually write up a first draft for you. So if you just like click the drop down menu and say you want to hire a product designer, it can get you a template to work off of, and then you can kind of fill it in, and then you can hit analyze, and it'll tell you different psychographic data and demographic data about that candidate based on all of the jobs data out there, like from monster.com, LinkedIn, this engine just processes all of that and comes up with this, what I have said is emotional intelligence scoring, that can help the actual HR manager who's writing the job posting to understand how they're coming off. So there is this company called Textio where they'll tell you stuff like, oh, you use this word, we're trying to hire a ninja, or we're trying to hire a rock star. Right. And they'll tell you, like, this is inappropriate language. It can really turn people off. Like, for example, maybe a woman is not attracted to the word ninja. Or somebody who's an introvert might not be attracted to the word, like, rock star.
Of course.
So it's really just about understanding the psychographic information. And so you can really increase diversity candidates into the workplace pipeline as the hiring manager. And you can really target great candidates without alienating anyone in any significant way.
Right, right. Yeah, language is so important, and how you engage with people is so important in marketing as well, you know. So is that going to help you to hire the best talent then? Or is that going to help you to refine your recruitment process?
Just in terms of like energy focus, you know, do you want a low level energy person? Do you want a high level energy person?
Okay.
It depends on the hiring manager, what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Technicality. So with my experience in mass human communication and interaction, mm-hmm. over the past 14 years being an influencer with a significant engagement score and following,
yeah.
you know, I've really learned how to take all of that information and process it into an engine. So for example, broad listening, you can opt in when you're submitting your resume to these application tracking systems to now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you can include your Twitter, you can include your LinkedIn.
Yep.
So when you're putting that, your social links out there, you're including, the last 2000 posts that you put up. So you're including all of this language. And so what the AI can do that I developed is it can process all of your posts,
mm-hmm.
and it can give you scores like how technical you are. It can say your personality type. It can say the types of things that you typically like to talk about. It can say your energy focus. So did I already say that? But so there's a lot. There's like 52 different scores that we can provide in addition to whatever is on your resume. And this mm-hmm. is particularly interesting to college level graduates who are just coming into the workforce for the first time, because just graduating from Stanford or UC Berkeley, it's not enough. You need more information than that. You can't just say because somebody graduated from a top school, they're going to be a great employee, when there's probably someone from University of Utah who is way better for that specific role. And so what we're seeing is kind of this elitism coming out, where only the people who can afford these, $55,000 to $70,000 per year tuitions are the ones who are getting the jobs. And it's just not fair.
No, and I agree.
It's helpful for the organization. So
yeah.
These are the kinds of challenges that I was trying to address when I originally had started the business.
That sounds very good. Yeah, because there's so much inequality there completely. I mean, problem is, though, people that went to Berkeley, like, they're probably good at like shutting out the noise. Because they've got this awful train, haven't they, that goes through there. What is up with that? I tell you what, that train is so loud. Like, it'd give you a heart attack, seriously. If you were by the train tracks, like, you let alone being run over by the train. You it's crazy, right? It's crazy. What a funny attitude, though. People from Berkeley got a funny attitude.
They do. They have an attitude. But also, it's like, you can tell that attitude by actually processing all of your social media posts and having an AI engine tell you, like, straight up, here are the hard facts, versus just your preconceived notions or stereotypes of the Berkeley student. You know, like, oh, they're a hippie, or they're a protester. But like, that could be completely untrue for that ideal candidate that did go to Berkeley, but wants to bypass these preconceived notions.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my phone really quickly because I actually watched a really, really interesting video today. And it was in fact, let me see. It was the Davos 2020, yeah? Mm-hmm. A future shaped by a technology arms race was what I listened to. And it was this professor, he's a historian, yeah? And yeah. he Yuval Noah Harari, his name is, yeah? And mm-hmm. and he was basically talking about basically how, you know, AI and analyzing all of these conversations, it actually knows us better than we know ourselves is basically what he was saying. He didn't say it does already, but I think it actually does. Yeah. I think that you can predict so much behavior from people now. Look at Facebook, look at how we've been manipulated into voting, into buying things that we didn't really want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so basically you got the CEO of Huawei and him like having this conversation, and the Huawei guy's like, well, I don't think we should worry about that at all. You know, humans being having technology in their brains, it's not going to help. Nothing's going to happen. And it's like, no, sorry, mate, you're talking rubbish. Yeah. Like he was talking absolute rubbish. Yeah. Because it's like, there is a massive risk, in huge manipulation around this. You know, we should talk about that in another episode sometime. We should have a good conversation around this because people don't realize they've got no clue at all. No clue, yeah. But
well, when you do that, like brain implants, and we can talk about this in another episode, but you end up submitting your body to a collective consciousness out there, which, you know, a lot of people think of in spiritual terms, like group meditation or group prayer, like everyone's kind of doing the same thing or thinking about the same thing. But when it's actual hardware, it's like another level.
Yeah, it is. And
it's like, who wants that? Like, you know, a lot of people are born Siamese twins. Not a lot, but some people are born Siamese twins and they share that.
Yeah.
But like, who would opt in to want to share that level of information in the very moment of every single moment of their day?
We should definitely talk about this at some stage in the future. I mean, I was talking to a lady called Monique Morrow. I don't know if you know of her. She was CTO at Cisco for quite a few years, I think. And she's all about tech for good, yeah? And it's so relevant to this conversation, basically, that I know we've gone around the houses a little bit, but it's so relevant because it's about tech for good, yeah? And if you want to use social media to find the right candidates, yeah, then you're using tech for good because you want diversion, you want, you know, people from all nationalities, all cultures. You want people all education levels, yeah, in business now. They don't care if you've got a degree or not now. I think it may even be against you if you've got a degree in, for some businesses, yeah? And I think using social media to develop your people is a key one because it's also can be included in the recruitment process, right? Because you can look at someone and say, all right, well, we know that they're there and we've analyzed them based upon this. And we know that based upon their behaviors that we can turn them into that. Yeah. And we know that we can help them and they're going to be motivated. So then it's really just a matter of how you use that tech, right? To develop the people. Social media is one thing. Yeah. But like, the question I have for you is how to use social media to develop your people, but it's bigger than that, isn't it?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of PR involved. You know, you don't want your people getting out there and posting super negative things about your company to the public. So having some sort of indication whether your employees are posting those kinds of things to the internet or not, and when they do, to get an alert so that you can reach out to them and ask them, hey, do you mind removing that post? Doesn't really reflect the company brand in the way that we want, but would love to, you know, address your concerns. You know, you seem disgruntled or frustrated, or just, you know, knowing when an employee is about to do something worse is, it's usually comes out on social media first.
Yeah. So you're basically monitoring their sentiments to see how they're doing. And then you can actually gauge if they're going to leave the company as well, right? So at that point, you should, you know, before they even get to that disgruntled stage, yeah, you should have a signal, right, that says, okay, our software says this, we need to get them in the office now, because otherwise in 2 weeks' time, they're going to give their notice. And you can predict that, right? Yeah, we know.
Yeah, you can predict that. You could maybe then just, you know, have HR reach out and see if maybe that person wants to be moved to a new team. Maybe it's the manager. Maybe it's one of the coworkers, and there's some reason why. So it's about, you know, figuring out the why, not just the what.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's quite exciting, really, if you think about it, because, you know, if LinkedIn actually plugged everyone into their database, yeah, and they turned around and said, well, actually, we're going to use this tech for good. We're going to give this away instead of charging recruiters loads and loads of money, right? They could actually change the entire world if people came on there really quickly, yeah, because, you know, it tech for good, right? Like, that's what I talked about with Monique Morrow. She talks about, like, creating some sort of software called, she calls it like Jobly is what she calls it. And it just, mm-hmm. and it can do exactly, you know, exactly what we're talking about, really. It's super exciting. The next few years are going to be really good, I think, but it's not going to be easy. And I think the people that are going to suffer are the ones that don't want to learn. And they're the ones that are going to suffer, right? The ones that don't have the skills, don't want to learn the technology skills. In many cases, they're gonna be in suffering, I think, personally.
Right. Well, it's like you had mentioned the, you know, the technology arms race conversation at the World Economic Forum that's happening right now, and that's what this is. I mean, it's like the HR managers who are equipped with the right tools. It's the marketing professionals who are equipped with the right tools. Yeah. Those. It's not necessarily going to be about the degree. It's going to say, what's your tool set, and what, you know, what are you bringing into this company? And that's what the new hiring managers are looking for these days. At least the smart ones are asking more about your tools, because they know that the employees that have the best tools are the ones who are the most productive. And so they're asking about that more so than they are asking about your college education or even your work experience.
Yeah. Very much so. So really, we've talked about retaining the talented people, haven't we? I mean, it's basically you just need to get in there before they're upset, and you need to have a clear listening tool that listens to them and nurtures them on social media. I mean, it's a process of just including them in into things, right, that they like to do. Yeah. I mean, is it any more complicated than that, do you think?
Ultimately, it is super inclusive because AI doesn't screen for, you know, if somebody has a traditionally African-American sounding name, that's something that people do. AI isn't going to be looking for any of that. I mean, unless you were to program that, but like no companies are programming that kind of stuff. The companies are trying to avoid that kind of racial or gender discrimination. And that's why a lot of these companies, including Oracle, did a test where they removed the name from the job resumes that were coming in. And that was, you know, it was a test just to see if that had any impact on the hiring funnel. Turns out it didn't. I don't really think that there's a big problem at Oracle with gender and bias in that way anyway, but you know, they're proactive and they actually did run a test on that. But, you know, Safra Katz is the CEO. Talk about a badass businesswoman.
Yeah. Oracle's a great company to work with. The people are just absolutely lovely. Really nice people, definitely. So really, I think we're done for now, yeah? And I can't thank you enough for your time. It's been super interesting, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and it's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. So if people want to get you, where do they find you?
Just at Sarah Austin. So Sarah Austin on social media. Follow me. You won't be disappointed.
Thanks very much.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you would like some help with your influencer marketing, then please drop me an email at nat@natschooler.com and I'll be able to help you, no problem at all. It's what we do as a business on a daily basis.
Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.